The thing is, what most people do is they stop expecting things, and therefore they never fail. It feels safer to not take these risks and not expect things. How many of you say things like, oh, I don't want to get my hopes up? Because we think that if we're hopeful towards something or we're hopeful towards an outcome, then it's going to be that much more painful. But you have to go through the messing up and the learning how to do it wrong first for so many things. And we deprive ourselves of so many experiences when we don't let ourselves get it wrong. Welcome to Is This All There Is? The podcast for high-achieving women who have checked all the boxes of success and are left feeling overwhelmed, unfulfilled, and stuck. I'm your host, Dr. Amanda Ryan Fear, and in each episode, we'll use principles of cognitive psychology, feminist theory, and expert mindset coaching to help you build the confidence and clarity you need to accomplish whatever it is you want, even if you don't yet know what that is. Hey, everybody. How is it going? Welcome to Is This All There Is? Episode number 33. I hope that you are doing well and you are enjoying the startup summer so far. Or if you're in the Southern Hemisphere, I hope winter is off to a good start for you. Last week, we did the Self-Trust Challenge, which was super fun. In it, we covered things like how to quiet your inner critic so you can get some peace back in your head, how to have your own back to stop beating yourself up and show a little self-compassion. On Wednesday, we worked on getting comfortable with discomfort and being able to regulate our emotions so that they aren't something that controls us anymore. On Thursday, we worked on expanding our comfort zones and learning how to be okay with failure. And on Friday, we wrapped it all up with learning how to tell a new story about yourself. And it was super fun. I love doing these challenges, A, because so many great women come and participate in them and really challenge themselves and push themselves to learn new things. But I also learn new things and I grow. Speaking of learning and growing, I have spent the past 3 days in a really intensive workshop at the Riding Center where I teach horseback riding lessons a few hours a week. We did a training on becoming equine specialists in mental health and learning. And what that means is basically learning how to use horses as partners in therapy sessions, in educational sessions. And what I am super interested in is having horses be part of life coaching sessions, because horses can teach us so much about ourselves, and they really are mirrors of however we're feeling. So they are amazing partners in helping us develop confidence, helping us develop self-trust, helping us become aware of our emotions and managing anxiety, among a whole host of other things. So I am super excited at the possibility of merging my two worlds of horses and coaching and being able to work with horses and people in life coaching settings. So stay tuned for further news about that. Today, I wanted to bring you one of the trainings from the Self-Trust Challenge because I thought it was so good, and I think everybody needs to hear this. In fact, I was so inspired by this topic that I am creating another module to put inside of the Mindset Gym, my 6-week coaching program that teaches you how to manage your thinking so that you can get more of what you want from life and less of what you don't. And I think that this topic is really integral for a lot of us when we work on playing bigger and creating more of what we want in our lives, going after bigger dreams, going after more fulfillment. In fact, learning how to say no, learning what our boundaries are and how to express them. So it's really a good tool, even when you don't want to play bigger, even when you want to kind of shore everything up in your life and make everything more manageable. So the topic for today is failure tolerance. And we worked on this in the Self-Trust Challenge on the day that we worked on expanding our comfort zones. Because basically our brains, anytime that we step out of our comfort zones, our brains are like, oh my gosh, is this where we die? Right? So if you think about three concentric circles, so a small bullseye or a small target symbol, however you want to think about it. If you think about three concentric circles, the first circle on the inside is your comfort zone. That is where we feel relaxed. That's where our nervous system is relaxed. That is where we feel calm. It's kind of the stuff we do every day, right? And then the circle outside of that, the next ring around our comfort zone, is our learning zone. So that's where it's more of a stretch. That's where we're stepping outside of our comfort zone. We're perhaps doing something new. Maybe we're speaking up for ourselves. Maybe we're even contemplating that dream that we've had in the back of our minds for decades. It's not so far that it pushes us into the danger zone where we kind of shut down, but it's just enough of a stretch to feel scary, but also feel like it's doable. So that's the learning zone. And then the concentric circle outside of the learning zone, the final circle, is the danger zone that I just spoke of. And that's where your brain basically goes into fight or flight mode if you're in the danger zone. So if your comfort zone is sitting on the couch watching Netflix, and your learning zone is perhaps signing up for a class in your community that gets you out of the house more, teaches you something new, gets you interacting with people you've never met before. For some people, that could be in the learning zone. For other people, that might be in the danger zone. For some people, you might think about sitting on your couch as your comfort zone, and maybe joining a running group is in your learning zone. And then your danger zone might be more of a literal danger zone, is bungee jumping. For other people, bungee jumping might be in their comfort zone, and then their learning zone and danger zone looks different. So the idea of expanding out of your comfort zone is choosing things that feel a little bit uncomfortable. And this is where learning how to manage your emotions and manage discomfort becomes such a superpower. And that's also something that I teach in the Mindset Gym and I teach clients, because once you can learn to manage that feeling of being uncomfortable, you can manage that feeling of fear, then you can do so many more things. You can take more risks. You can challenge yourself more. But then what we don't want to do is choose something that's so challenging for us, whatever our comfort, learning, and danger zones are. We don't want to choose something that'll push us into the danger zone. So thinking about working with horses, for me, my comfort zone really is riding my horse. I've ridden most of my life. I feel comfortable about horses or around horses. I know how to work with them safely, which also helps build that comfort. Then my learning zone is more doing the things that I haven't done very much. So jumping higher jumps, or maybe learning dressage patterns. Sorry, I just lost my train of thought. But my danger zone would be jumping 3-foot jumps, right? Or jumping even higher. And so it's important to know what your comfort zone, learning zone, and danger zones are. So that said, part of expanding out of our comfort zones is learning how to fail and not make it mean that we're going to die. There's a lot of information out there about how to succeed, how not to fail, but there needs to be a conversation and training around how to fail and growing in to failing and being okay with failing. Because I would say that most people don't achieve their dreams because they don't want to fail. There's not a lot of consideration as to why. I have a lot of people say to me, I'm afraid of failure. And I say, what does that mean? What exactly are you afraid of? What does failure even mean? And why are you afraid of that? And they'll be confused because we spend so much of our time thinking, oh my gosh, I can't fail. I'm afraid to fail, but we don't really even think about what that means and what fear of it means. That's one of the things that we do in coaching. We always try to get the cause of the issues. We don't solve problems on the surface. We try to solve the causes of problems. And one of the main causes of problems is not understanding why. The first thing that's important to do is to understand what failure is. How do you define it? So asking the Googleverse what failure means, the definition that comes up is the omission of expected or required action. I love this definition of failure. If failure means we just didn't do our own expected action or something else didn't do our own expected action, it really takes a lot of the sting out of it. It's like, okay, well, that's what happened. I had a goal and I didn't do my expected action, or I didn't have the expected action to reach the goal, or something else didn't do the expected action. It just means that something didn't turn out the way that we expected. That happens all the time, right? So failure isn't this big deal that we make it out to be. The challenge is we've been trained our whole lives that failure's bad, right? Think back to school and all the messages that you got about failing. Like, you can't fail a class because that would be the end of the world, right? I know a lot of you were like, oh my gosh, just getting a B would have been the end of the world. But thinking about failing a test caused so much anxiety for us because the idea was usually you have one shot to do this test. And if you fail, that means something big. But we need to change how we look at failure and how we define failure. If we look at it as something that didn't turn out how we expected, like I said, that happens all the time, and that's not really a big deal. The thing is, what most people do is they stop expecting things, and therefore they never fail. It feels safer to not take these risks and not expect things. How many of you say things like, oh, I shouldn't have gotten my hopes up, or I don't want to get my hopes up, right? Because we think that if we're hopeful towards something or we're hopeful towards an outcome, then it's going to be that much more painful if we don't get it. But what I want you to know is it's all in your head. So a lot of people keep their expectations really low and they just keep recycling the same life. They never go outside of their comfort zone and they never really have to deal with missing or hitting their own expectations because their expectations are so low. And I think that's such a wasted opportunity. A lot of the women that I speak with, they just don't feel like themselves anymore. They don't feel alive anymore because they've climbed the ladder. They've checked the boxes, whatever metaphor you want to use, and they've stopped reaching. They've stopped trying. They're just trying to manage their lives. And they're not pushing themselves out of their comfort zone to try something new because, like I said, they're just managing. They're coping. And so I ask clients all the time, why are you avoiding failing? What's the reason? And it always boils down to avoiding wanting to feel something. If failure is really just not meeting your own expectation or not taking the required action to meet your own expectation, then really what's going on when that happens is you're going to think some thought that's going to create some negative emotion. The real reason why we're avoiding any kind of missing the mark, any kind of not meeting our expectation, is because we don't want to feel what we're going to feel when that happens. So here's what's really interesting about that. When you don't meet your own expectation, the only feeling that you're going to end up having is based on what you decide to think. Stay with me on this one. You set out to do something, you have an expectation of what the result is going to be, and you miss that expectation. Now, at that point, you get to decide what you're going to make that mean. You get to decide what you're going to think about that. If you think about it in a way that hurts your own feelings, if you think about it in a way that's disappointing, then you're going to experience that negative emotion. Ironically, the whole reason you're avoiding failing is because you're avoiding something that you have complete control over, which is your reaction to failing. You're avoiding something that you're in charge of and acting like it's happening to you. Most people think failure is something that happens to me. I set out to do the thing and I fail and then I have to experience that feeling. But that's not the truth. What really happens is we miss our expectation. And then we decide to make it mean something that hurts. We decide to make it mean something that causes us negative emotion. So there can be work on that end of it. When we don't meet our own expectations, we can decide not to make that mean the end of the world. We can decide to make that mean actually something positive, and therefore we won't be dreading experiencing that very thing that we're creating, which is our own negative emotion. Let me give you an example, because I know this sounds interesting in theory, but you might not quite be grasping what I'm trying to say, especially if you're new to this work. So let's say that I set up a class, I create a class that I'm really excited about, and my goal is to have 5 people attend the class. So I go out there and I start marketing it, and I'm really excited about it, and I'm putting all my energy into marketing it, and I have 3 people sign up. But I'm like, oh, I failed. I wanted 5 people, and I only had 3 people sign up. I'm not good at this. I shouldn't even teach this class. People aren't interested in it. I'm never going to do this again because it feels so terrible. Well, the only reason it feels terrible is because I'm making it mean that there's something wrong with me, that I'm not any good at this. That's why I'm certain, quote unquote, fail. And I'm calling failure is so awful because I'm making it so awful. So I start avoiding something that I'm actually the cause of. Because I'm telling myself the story that I failed, I'm not any good at this, and I should just quit and go home. And I created that story myself. There's nobody out there saying, oh yeah, you only got 3 people and you wanted 5. I guess you should just quit this business. So on the flip side, I could set out to teach a class. Same thing. I could be really excited about it. And I could say, I want to have 5 people in the class. And then 3 people show up. And I could also think, hey, that's awesome. 3 people want what I have to offer. It wasn't my goal. I didn't meet my goal. I didn't meet my expectation. I didn't get 5 people when I wanted 5, but I got 3. And 3 people are interested in what I'm teaching and what I'm really excited about. And so I can keep moving from here. I can continue to hope to get 5 the next time around, and I could use what I learned from teaching it and marketing it the first time around to the 3 people, and maybe next time I'll get 5. So I'm using not quite meeting my expectation, not quite meeting the mark, as a learning opportunity. And I'm not making it mean that I suck and I'm awful at this and nobody wants what I have. What I'm making it mean is that I get to learn from it and I get to grow from it. And how fun is that, right? So you are entirely in charge of this story that you tell yourself. So when I think about failure that way as an opportunity to learn and grow and improve, it doesn't make me want to avoid failure. In fact, it makes me want to keep learning and growing and trying again. So I am the one that's determining what failure will be like to me and how I decide to think about it when I don't meet my own expectation. So I really do believe that success is one of those things that's acquired by failure and by being willing to fail. In fact, I was watching my daughter's writing lesson a few weeks ago, and the students in the lesson were learning how to count strides up to a jump, count canter strides. And sometimes a horse going up to a jump will take off pretty far from the jump, and then you feel like, oh my gosh, I just need to hold on. This is scary. And then sometimes they'll take off too close to the jump, which also feels kind of scary and kind of unsettling. But if you can learn how to count the strides, count the steps the horse takes going up to the jump, you can control a little bit more how quickly they come up to the jump, and you can control if they take off too far, too close, or in the right spot. And granted, this skill takes a really long time to develop, and it takes a lot of getting it wrong before you start to get it right, before you start to see that distance, and before you can start to see when you need to slow your horse down, speed him up, or stay the course. And so one particular student was trying the same jump over and over again, and each time her horse took off too far from the jump, and she was getting frustrated. And our trainer said, you know, you are actually doing this perfectly right now. It's perfect because you have to get it wrong before you can get it right. You won't learn how to see the distance. You won't learn this skill without screwing it up first. You have to learn how it feels wrong first before you can start to see what you need to do to get it to feeling right. So she made this occurrence, what was happening, that was becoming frustrating for the student because the student was having a hard time learning this concept and getting her horse to do what she wanted it to do. And she turned it into this learning opportunity and like kind of requirement for getting it right. I love that so much because that's such a good metaphor for life of we have to screw it up. We have to get it wrong before we can feel it, feel what it's like to get it right, before we can learn enough, before we get it right. So if failure is not meeting your own expectations, then success is meeting your expectations. And the best way to meet them is to practice meeting them and to make a lot of mistakes and learn what doesn't work. And that's something when you think about failure, when you think about taking action in that way, when you're not so wrapped up in what it means to not have done it all perfectly. A lot of people will say to me that they're perfectionists, that they'll just say, I want to do it right, and I'm not willing to do it if I can't do it perfectly. And I totally get that. I have moments of that myself, and especially growing up, I didn't want to try things that I knew would be hard. I think about in high school, my best friend was learning how to play tennis, and her boyfriend at the time was teaching her, and he was a really good tennis player. He played for a lot of his life. And she was getting really frustrated because it was hard to learn. And she got so mad that she stormed off the court at one point. She just was like, I just don't want to do this. I want to be able to do it right. But you have to go through the messing up and the learning how to do it wrong first for so many things. And we deprive ourselves of so many experiences when we don't let ourselves get it wrong. Perfectionism is usually driven by fear. And when we're afraid to get it wrong, we're afraid of either what other people will think about us, but really what we're afraid of is what we'll think about ourselves and how we'll treat ourselves. A lot of reasons that people don't want to get things wrong, when they say things like, I only want to get it right, I'm afraid of getting it wrong, it gives them an excuse to not take action and to not put themselves out there and to not fail, to not meet their own expectation. The reason why they don't want to not meet their own expectation is because they know they're going to beat themselves up if they don't get it right, if they don't do it perfectly. They're going to beat themselves up, and that never feels good. So you can make a deal with yourself. You can say, hey, I'm going to go out there and try to do this, and there's going to be a chance that along the way that I'm going to mess up. I'm not going to meet my expectation. I'm not going to meet my goal. But I'm in control of how I treat myself on the other end of that. I don't have to be mean to myself. We tend to think that, like, if we set a goal and we go out to do that goal and we don't meet our goal, beating ourselves up will save us from the pain of not meeting a goal in the future. So beating ourselves up is an interesting survival tool that we have, where we tend to think that if an experience was painful in the past, if we just beat ourselves up enough about it, then we won't repeat that experience again and feel the same pain. But if you can learn to manage your emotions, you can learn to stretch your comfort zone, and you can learn to build up a failure tolerance, then you don't have to worry about feeling that pain anyway, because you're only creating that pain with your thoughts. You're only creating that pain by telling yourself that you failed. So let's talk about the benefits of failing. I know that the metaphor of a young child learning to walk is overplayed a lot of times, but it's a suitable metaphor. It works because kids learning to walk, they have some epic fails, right? They get up, they pull themselves up, they toddle along, and then they face plant. And then they pull themselves up again, and they toddle along some more, and then they fall on their butts. And just watching them is exhausting, right? Because they get up, they fail, they do it again. They get up, they fail, they do it again. And they're eating it like every third step. But what's fascinating is that one of the reasons they're falling is because they don't have the body strength and coordination to be able to hold themselves up and walk on two legs. And so every time they fall and they push themselves up, they're building that strength and they're building that coordination so that they can walk a little bit further the next time. So by falling, they're actually building the strength they need to learn how to walk. So it's similar with failing. Every time we fail, every time we don't meet our expectation, we're building the strength, we're building the knowledge, we're gaining the skills that we need to be more successful in the future. So This makes me think about confidence and how we build confidence and where we think confidence comes from. And I think confidence really is so much being willing to fail in front of other people and also being willing to fail in front of yourself. So being willing to fail and not make it mean anything about you or your abilities and not beating yourself up about it. So thinking about confidence, a lot of us think that confidence comes from the past. It comes from what we've done in the past, what we've accomplished in the past. But I don't think that's true at all. So confidence doesn't necessarily come from competence. We don't have to be good at a thing to feel confident about it or confident about ourselves. So thinking about the example of pouring a glass of water, you probably have poured several glasses of water over your lifetime. And we feel really confident about that for the most part because we've done it so many times. We know that we're good at it. We can get the water into the glass. And the interesting thing is if we spill or we miss the glass or knock it over, we don't turn that into a reason not to do it in the future or to quit. We don't even consider that a failure. We don't say like, oh my gosh, I failed at pouring a glass of water today. I'm so embarrassed. I don't think I'm going to pour any more liquids into glasses ever again. I'm just going to have other people do it for me. We don't do that. We're like, ah, and then probably swear, and then we get mad, and then we clean it up, and then we move on in our lives. But we're not dwelling on it like 6 weeks later, being like, oh my God, remember that time that I failed to pour a glass of water? We don't make it mean anything negative, and so we're willing to do it again because it's not a big deal if we screw it up again. Yeah, it's annoying, but we're not going to quit pouring water. So how do you feel that same sense of confidence with something you've never done? Because in the example of pouring water, you have a history of successful water pouring. So even if you spill it once, it doesn't have to be a big deal because you can fall back on all of the success. But what about something you've never done? You actually have to find confidence in your future. Giving you a second to let that sit. Instead of finding confidence in our past, we find it in our future. Well, how do you find confidence in your future when you're starting out doing something that you've never done before? Everything that you're going to be doing, you know you're going to be failing, so your confidence has to come from your ability to fail and knowing that you're not going to give up and knowing that you could fail and get better and better every time. So for me, I like to try new things. I like change. I like pushing myself out of the edge of my comfort zone. And I was trying to figure out why I like to do that. And I think it's because I've developed this ability to be willing to fail, to be willing to get it wrong, and also to be willing to fail in front of other people. And granted, it's taken me a long time, a lot of managing my thinking around this to get to this point, but it's so amazing. That's why failure isn't one of those concepts that you just talk about after you don't do well in a math test. Failure is something you have to consider as something you want to include in your life on purpose. Shift the perspective from failure being something that you want to avoid to being something that you want to embrace. You can get good at failing. So it's actually something to pursue and to develop your competence at. So I feel confident in my ability to fail. And if I feel confident in my ability to fail and be okay and recover and not beat myself up and not make it mean anything negative, then I'm going to try new things. I'm going to put myself out there and eventually be successful because as I fail and I embrace failure, I'm learning and I'm growing and I'll continue to go. I'll continue to work at whatever it is that I'm working on. Does that make sense? So I like the idea of shifting from failure, the idea of failure to learning. So when I taught high school leadership, I used to have kids at the beginning of the semester do this activity that includes, it's a body-oriented activity where they do a series of clapping and counting and stomping their feet. And inevitably, your brain gets jammed up when you do this and you automatically fail. Like you can't really succeed in this activity. And it's fun, so it's not like this torture that I was subjecting them to. But the idea is they do it in front of a partner and they take turns and they do this sequence of clapping and counting and stomping their feet. And then when they fail, when they get it wrong, the whole point of the game is instead of getting frustrated I taught them to put their arms up and shake them, kind of like jazz hands in the air, and say, yay, I'm learning. And it gets really silly and everybody laughs. And then they get to a point where they keep trying. They keep trying this really difficult coordination sequence in their bodies and they don't give up. But I bet if I did that same activity with anybody, high school students or anybody, and didn't give them that option, require them to say, yay, I'm learning at the end, and make it silly and make it a game, they probably would have gotten frustrated pretty early on. So shifting the framework from failure to learning, which again is really hard because we've spent our whole lives being taught that failure is bad, to avoid failure. So I like the idea of practicing failure. Failure is a skill that we develop. If we're good at falling down, we learn how to fall down really well, and we learn to pick ourselves up, and we develop the strength that we need to not fall down in the future. Early on in my coaching career, when I was learning how to develop coaching packages and to market them and do consultation calls and talk to potential clients, I was having a hard time learning that, and I was getting frustrated, and I was working with a coach. And she had suggested that I create a 100 fails list. And she showed me hers. She had one too. And at the top of her paper, she'd written 100 fails. And then she'd marked her paper from 1 to 100. And then every time she quote unquote failed at something, she would add it to her list. And the idea is that once you get to 100 fails, you're probably going to be pretty good at that thing. So I created my 100 fails list, and it became more exciting, right? Because instead of something being a failure and making it mean that I wasn't good at what I was doing, that I would never sign coaching clients, that I would never get to work with people and do this work that I love, that I would never learn how to market it, it became a game. And we all love gold stars, right? We all love filling in lists. We all love charts. And so it became kind of this game where I was like, when I get to 100 fails, I'm going to buy myself something. And I can't remember what I decided to buy myself. But it became this positive experience where I could have just as easily, or maybe more easily, have made it mean something about myself and my abilities, and my business probably wouldn't exist to this day because of that. So the worst thing about failure is what you decide to make it mean and what decisions you make from that. So it's really up to you to create the story, to shift the story about what you're making your experiences mean. So I want to be really clear about something when it comes to failure. I think it's really important to separate failure coming from pushing yourself outside of your comfort zone by taking risks, by putting yourself out there, versus failing by just not showing up. Those are both failures, but one is going to help you learn and grow and succeed, and one's just going to keep you stuck. What I mean by that is, like, if you decide to teach a class, or you go on a date with someone new, or you meet someone new, or you go take a class somewhere to learn something that's a little bit out of your comfort zone, but you're putting yourself out there and you're doing new things, you could get rejected. It could be difficult to learn the new thing. People might not sign up for your class. These sort of things are outside of your comfort zone fails because you're still pushing yourself. You're still taking risks and doing something new. You're like that toddler learning how to walk. That's the kind of failure I want to encourage you to do more of, as opposed to the failure of just not showing up. So the failure of not doing things, I call that failing ahead of time, right? How many times have you done that where you're like, well, I really would like to do this new thing, but here are all the ways that it could probably go wrong, and I'll end up bankrupt and lonely and all the catastrophizing that our brains do. So I guess I just won't do it. So you fail ahead of time. I see this with clients a lot where they have an idea for a business or an idea of something they'd like to start, and they're really excited about it. And then they go through the whole list that they have that they've been thinking about in the middle of the night for like the past 6 weeks of all the reasons that it's not going to work. And then they decide, yeah, it's just not going to work. So I guess I won't do it. So they're failing ahead of time. They're not going out there and trying it and learning and growing. And that's not the kind of failing that helps us to succeed, the failing ahead of time. So when I say that I want you to fail more, what I actually want you to do is fail in the kind of failing that pushes you out of your comfort zone, where you're trying things and you're putting yourself out there, as opposed to the failing of talking yourself out of it and just not doing the thing. So what is something that you've been wanting to try that you've been putting off because you're afraid you'll fail? If that is something that's not in your danger zone, it's not going to push you into fight or flight, it's something that's just out of your comfort zone, I want you to take the first step. So make your 100 fails list, write 100 fails at the top, and then come up with a plan for what you need to do first, like first, second, third. What are the baby steps you can take towards this thing you've always wanted to do? Whether it's something like starting your own business, or something like enrolling in a class in something you're interested in, or maybe even asking that person at work that you work with out for coffee so you can get to know them better. What's something you've been wanting to do, but you've been talking yourself out of because really you're afraid of failing? You're afraid of what you'll make it mean if they say no, or if the class is hard, or if, heaven forbid, starting your own business is hard. What are you going to make that mean? You are 100% in control of that story. So do the thing, put yourself out there, accumulate those fails, and see how fast you can succeed. All right, my friends, that is it for today. If you are interested in more of this type of work, I encourage you to check out the Mindset Gym. It's my 6-week coaching program with 6 online modules that you can work out on your own pace, plus 3 private coaching calls with me to really learn how to manage your thinking and work with your brain to be successful faster. So if you're having trouble making decisions, if you're not sure which direction you want to take your life in, if you're feeling overwhelmed and you'd like some more peace and quiet for yourself, anything you'd like to achieve in your life, it always starts with your mind. And it starts with learning to manage your thinking, emotions, and actions so that you can get the results that you want. Check it out at the Mindset Gym. I'll put a link below, and I hope that you are well. We'll talk next week. If you found this podcast helpful, head on over to iTunes to subscribe, rate, and leave a review. And go ahead and send it to a friend while you're at it. Thank you. My mission in life is to liberate women from the limiting beliefs that are holding them back from living their fullest, most joyful lives. If you'd like to learn more about my work, check out my website at www.amandaryanfear.com. That's AmandaryanFear.com.